Amen. I invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 28. This morning we're going to continue our series on the Apostles' Creed, and we're looking at the third day he rose again from the dead, and looking at the resurrection this morning, and how the what difference that makes in our life. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 28. This is Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, and he is writing about the resurrection of Christ. He says, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you have received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scripture, and that he appeared to Cephas and to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of who are still living, though some have fallen asleep," that is, they've died. "Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also, as one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believe. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, so our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, but he did not raise him. But he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who have also fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people to be most pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom of God to the Father after he has destroyed all dominion and authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all of his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, for he has put everything under his feet. Now, when it says everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all." Last week, Sunday morning, I received a text from Lisa that Howie had passed away. I shared that last Sunday morning. Howie Shumway, Bunny's husband, father to Lisa and Paul, friend to so many here, and in reading his obituary online, friend to so many all over the place. Last Sunday, he passed from this earthly existence to heavenly glory. On Tuesday, I called Lisa just to see how she was doing, just to check in, and as to be expected, there's grief. There's grief in a loss. There's grief when somebody passes. There's grief. Even we see with Jesus, when Lazarus died, it says Jesus wept. Jesus himself wept at death with grief. There's a loss of a dear father, a special man. There are thoughts of what is this going to be like now moving forward? Can't just pick up a phone and make a phone call just to say hi. Death is an intrusion. It's not the way it's supposed to be. This is not what God intended when he created the world perfect. But when Genesis 3, when Adam and Eve sinned and fell, we all fell. We are all affected by death. In our conversation, as we were talking, Lisa made the comment, she says, I don't know how anybody faces with death without the hope of the resurrection. How does somebody face this grief without the assurance and the hope that we have in Christ Jesus that this is not the end? Paul writes to the church in Thessalonians, in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 and 14, he says, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. That's why we can confess and profess this morning and look at the truth that on the third day he rose again from the dead. Because of Jesus' resurrection, we have hope. Hope that this is not the end. Hope that this world is not all there is. Hope that we know what is ahead because Jesus has gone before us. Hope that in Christ we will be reunited with loved ones who have the same hope that we do. But to some, this idea of the resurrected Jesus is far-fetched or fanciful. The idea of the resurrection to some, that this there is life after death, is just this made-up thing to make us feel better. But it's important to note from a historical standpoint, as we look at the history of it, we look at the scriptures, we see that there's a ton of historical proof that Jesus rose from the dead. Paul writes, as we read earlier, that Jesus appeared to Cephas, appeared to the disciples, appeared to 500 other people at the same time. He's claiming that he has been raised from the dead. He says, he's raised on the third day, according to the scripture, appeared to Cephas, and then the 12, and then the 500 brothers and sisters at the same time. Most people are living, some of them have fallen asleep. Paul claims that 500 people were gathered and Jesus was there. Now, many scholars will argue, and I read a few of them this week as I was preparing for this, many scholars argue that this really can't be true because there's no recollection or there's no writing that there's this gathering of 500 people. As if every time anybody in the ancient world gathered with groups of 500 people, there were people to write about it. I mean, today, if we have a gathering of 500 people, it goes out on Facebook, it goes out on Twitter, it goes out on, you know, Instagram, it goes out on, you know, it's going to be on somebody's story, there's going to be a reporter covering it, you know, this, everybody's going to know about it. I mean, you sneeze and people know about it. In the ancient world, there wasn't all these technologies. So to argue that 500 people showed up and nobody knew about it, it's like, not every time 500 people show up is everybody going to know about it. But Paul would have been a fool to write that 500 people showed up if they didn't actually show up. Because he's writing to people who can go and look for these 500 people. Now, he says some of them had passed away. But if this was not true and there were not 500 people who gathered, then it wouldn't take very long for any investigative person to notice, no, this actually didn't happen. And this whole idea that Paul's writing is debunked because he lied about it. John Piper explains it this way. He says, what makes this so relevant is that this was written to Greeks who were skeptical of such claims when many of these witnesses were still alive. It was a risky claim if it could be disproved by a little firsthand research. It wouldn't have taken much to figure out, well, no, there really wasn't 500 people who saw Jesus. But if you go and you look at it, and there were 500 people that saw Jesus, then you got to start thinking, maybe this resurrection's got something to it. Though the resurrection can be pointed to with historical scholarship to say that it could have happened and that there was people and witnesses, to believe the resurrection takes faith. To believe the importance of the resurrection takes faith. To know that Jesus died and rose again takes faith to understand what it's about. We live in a world that holds to what we can see, and if we can't see it, then it really doesn't exist. It takes faith to hold the message that God gives us, the hope of the resurrection, that death is not all that there is. It takes faith to profess that death does not defeat God. It takes faith to profess that nothing, not even death itself, can separate us from the love of God. A few weeks ago, we looked at the phrase in the Apostles' Creed of Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. And we looked at the importance that Jesus is 100% human and 100% God. This mystery that Jesus is God-man, that and the importance of it, that is vital to our faith that we understand this. Jesus is 100% human just like us. And because he is 100% human just like us, he, like the rest of us, is destined to die. He will die. And he did die. But because he is the Son of God, he is able to fill death with his presence so that the grave becomes a source of life. The Apostles' Creed is marked by the unflinching acceptance that people die, coupled with a straightforward confidence in the resurrection. So here's the paradox of the resurrection. Where the world sees defeat, followers of Jesus see victory. Where others see brokenness and despair, we see happy reunions and healing and wholeness. Where others see death and decay, we see the perfection of human nature. Where others see an end, followers of Jesus see a beginning. When we bury our dead under the sign of the cross, we lay bones to rest, not in horror, but in peace. The dominant sound of a Christian funeral is not one of mourning, but one of hope and one of praise, that death is no longer the ultimate power in the world because the resurrection has defeated death. The kingdom values of the upside-down kingdom of God are different than this world. The values of God are completely the opposite. Humility, servanthood, and sacrifice are the opposite of arrogance, power, and self-seeking. The kingdom of God and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ alters and changes those of us who believe. By human nature, we are on the journey from birth to death, from the womb to the tomb. But because of grace, we travel in the opposite direction. The Christian life is a mystery that moves us from death to birth. At the beginning of our faith journey, we are baptized into Christ's death. And at the end, we are born into the resurrection of life. You see the upside downness of it. Life in this world goes from birth to death. Life in Christ goes from death to birth. We are born as though dying, and we die as though we are being born. Ephesians 2, 1 through 2, Paul tells us that we start our life in Christ as being dead, though you are dead in your transgressions and sins, which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world. We were dead. Though we think we are alive, when we begin our life in Christ, we were dead. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4 says, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Jesus, or Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live to new life. In our death, through Jesus' resurrection, we will be more fully alive in the presence of God and transformed into his glory. So while we grieve the passing of Howie and others of those who have gone before us in our life, those who have died in Christ Jesus have not died at all. In fact, those who have died in Christ Jesus are more alive than we are here. The incredible news that we have of the resurrection is that in God's upside-down world, we are moving from death to life and not from life to death. So what difference does that make in our life? What difference does the resurrection make, the good news, the incredible news of the resurrection make in how you face tomorrow? The first thing we see of the power of the resurrection is that our daily life is connected with the power of the resurrection. The way we live our life today isn't just on our own strength, but it's through the power of the Spirit that is at work within us. Paul writes this in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 through 20. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance of his people, and his incomparably great power for those who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. Paul is telling you that the power that rose Jesus from the grave is at work in you. Now, you're probably looking at me and saying, can you explain that a little more? And I cannot. I've tried this week to say, how do I explain this? I can't. Other than our life is not lived in our own strength. God living in us, working in us, gives us hope that we have because of the power of the resurrected Christ. God's power that conquered sin and death, that raised Jesus from the dead, is at work in your life. So when you face tomorrow, maybe with fear or anxiety or worry or uncertainty or shame, no longer does that fear or worry or shame or anxiety have power in your life. The power of the resurrection is available to you to have power in your life. So while we get all worried and worked up about things, and we're scared or we're fearful or we're uncertain, the truth that should shape us is that we face the future not with uncertainty, but with knowing that the power of God is at work within us and at work through us. That we can live with certainty of the resurrection. Another way is that we work and do ministry for the kingdom of God through the power of the resurrected Christ. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, and we too shall be raised, the work that we do for the kingdom of God has eternal significance. Bringing people to faith and building them up in faith will have an eternal significance, because on that day when Jesus returns, all those who believe in him will live forever. And so the work that we do as a ministry, the work that you do in your life, the way that you live your life each and every day has an eternal impact. We don't have to go into that day working for the good of the kingdom on our own strength, but because God is with us. When we look at our lives, we see that we can have an eternal perspective. We look at our life and we know that because of the resurrection, this is not all there is. That if we die, we go to heaven. So what do we have to be afraid of? Apostle Paul says this in his letter to the Philippians. He wrote while he was in jail, facing persecution and facing death. He says, I eagerly expect and hope that I in no way will be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I'm to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. Paul's saying, he's living life with an eternal perspective. He says, if I can stay here and I can do the work of the kingdom, then I do that for the glory of God. But if I die, then I'm in his presence. For me to live is Christ, but to die is even better. So what do I do? Imagine being able to live with that perspective. Live with the perspective that as you're going through life and as you're going through facing things, that you can face it and know with hope and with comfort that you are belonging to God, that because of his resurrection, he holds you. So you don't have to fear anything, not even death itself. And so we can live with for the glory of Christ, but if we die, we're in his presence. So as Paul says, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. So what difference does death make if that's what I have in front of me? What we have in front of us is a heavenly reward. When we die because of the resurrection, heaven will be our reward. Being in the presence of God will be our reward. Being fully alive will be our reward. Paul writes to the church in Colossae, he says, since you have been raised with Christ, remember, having gone from death to life, we have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. The resurrection makes all the difference. It gives us the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. It gives the hope that this is not all that there is, that death is not the end. It gives us hope that we will see loved ones again. It gives us the hope that we can live our life here today with assurance that God has us, that this is not all there is, and that there is something far greater that awaits. The resurrection makes all the difference. That's why we profess the third day he rose again from the grave. Let's pray. God, we praise you and thank you for the hope that we have of the resurrection, for the truth of the resurrection, that it makes all the difference in our lives. God, for those who are grieving, we pray with Howie and Bunny and Paul. We pray with so many others. God, for those who are grieving, that we hold the truth of the resurrection that gives us strength and hope and assurance. God, we praise you that we have that. God, help us to hold on to that truth that changes the way we live, that changes our outlook in the world. God, that for us to live is Christ, but to die is gain. God, so may we go into this world not worried, not with fear and anxiety or uncertainty, but God, may the power and the truth of the resurrection transform how we face our tomorrow. God, through your power, your Holy Spirit, just let that seep in us. Let that just take root in us, that our perspective can change because of the power of the resurrection that is at work within us, we pray. Amen.